Germany, France, and Russia today pressed the United Nations Security Council to set a timetable for Saddam Hussein to disarm, while also issuing a statement refuting the move to war with Iraq. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair conferred with senior ministers today to consider his shrinking diplomatic options in the Iraq crisis. Tomorrow, Blair holds an emergency summit with President Bush and Spain's Prime Minister José María Aznar. As NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports from London, the political stakes for Blair are high.
At a hastily scheduled press conference yesterday, Tony Blair hailed President Bush for announcing his commitment to implement the so-called roadmap for a Middle East peace. Questioned on the announcement's timing, with the world poised for war in Iraq, Blair seized the opportunity to address the skeptics.
It's precisely now that we say to the Arab and Muslim world, we accept the obligation of even-handedness. We accept that it is right now that we have to say to people that the issue of peace between Palestinians and Israelis is as important as any other issue to us.
But the White House announcement was widely seen by European and Arab analysts as a last-minute gesture to give a political boost to Blair, who has been pressing Washington for movement in the Mideast peace effort. Europe and the Arab world have been frustrated by perceived American neglect of this issue. For months, Blair has been in lockstep with the U.S. march to war against Saddam Hussein and has projected moral certitude. He has sent 45,000 troops to the Gulf, but he's been unable to sell war to his own people. Last Sunday, a member of his own cabinet, the popular and influential International Development Secretary Claire Short, threatened to resign if Britain goes to war without U.N. backing. And she had a scathing judgment of her boss.
I'm afraid that I think the whole atmosphere of the current situation is deeply reckless. Reckless for the world, reckless for the undermining of the UN in this disorderly world, which is wider than Iraq, the whole world needs for the future. Reckless with our government, reckless with his own future position and place in history. It's extraordinarily reckless. I'm very surprised by it.
Cabinet member Robin Cook is also said to be thinking of resigning. Last month, one in four of Blair's Labour Party MPs voted against him over Iraq. And on Tuesday, Blair was stung by a poll that showed that only 19% of Britons support going to war without a second UN resolution. The Prime Minister's response has been to go on primetime TV. On Monday, looking pale and grey, he was confronted by a group of women opposed to war. Some of them were mothers of victims of the 9/11 World Trade Center attacks.
These are all questions that people can speculate on. What I'm trying to do is do what I believe is right for the country.
Prime Minister, thank you.
Thank you.
The purposefully slow pace of their clapping was a rude sign of their disapproval. Tony Blair has repeatedly given assurances that if Britain goes to war, it would do so within the rule of law. But with little likelihood now of passage of a second UN resolution, critics within his own party are openly questioning the legality of a military operation. Whatever the outcome, all analysts agree that Tony Blair's political career is not in immediate jeopardy. Despite the discontent of some leftist backbenchers who have raised the specter of a leadership challenge, the Prime Minister can still count on widespread party loyalty in time of crisis. But BBC political editor Andrew Marr believes Tony Blair will not come out of war with Iraq unscathed.
I think the bigger problem for him is going to be what happens afterwards. What happens to the whole Middle East settlement, if the region appears to be less stable rather than more stable, I think he will face terrible problems in British politics at home.
When the military operation is over, Blair's challenge will be reconnecting with British public opinion and the Labour rank and file. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, London.